Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
What's the key to discovering delectable dining? Find something that sizzles, a time-tested favorite, a feast for your eyes and palate, and a dining experience handled with care. In Vicksburg, the key to the South.
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Monday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Talawan.
That would be a little weird. I don't know if I've ever heard that word.
Well, you've heard it now. All you got to do.
Talawan.
All you got to do if you want to go to Talawan. Where did it go? There it is. Hold on. All you got to do to go to Talawan is to go down Highway 11 south from Purvis. I'm sorry. And then you take a right there on Talawa Road. Take you right there. To get to Jude Brewer Road, you've gone too far.
Well, thank you for that information.
That is critical information. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. All the great coffees that are on sale are available at the stores, are available online. And, of course, every click benefits the Bulldog Initiative, just like it does when you work with our friends at Pitt Printing and Signs. If you're a Mississippi State fan and you are a business owner, this is a deal you really can't pass up. You're already spending money on printing. Why not spend it with Pitt Printing and Signs? Get great service from a Bulldog-owned and operated business, and 10% of your sale goes directly to the Bulldog Initiative under your name. Again, you can support the Bulldog Initiative, and you don't have to spend any extra money to do it. Just to give your business to our friend Camden Baker over at Pitt Printing and Signs. His number is 601-499-5216. That's his personal cell number. That is not the number to the front desk. That's how committed he is to giving you top-notch services. I'm putting you directly in contact with the CEO of this company. You can't really beat that. Pitt Printing and Signs in Ridgeland. PippRidgeland.com is the website. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner and collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. Whatever it is, Mississippi State, they've got it at College Corner. Everything with the new logo, the state script, the M over S, the interlocking, it's right there for your house, for your car, for your tailgate, whatever you're looking for, Mississippi State, they've got it at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowway by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant. This is Super Bulldog weekend. I think a part of Super Bulldog weekend is a trip to Restaurant Tyler. If you can't make it any other day, Sunday brunch is probably the one. Now, look, we'll go ahead and give you a heads up. Unless you're Robbie Falk and you can get past the doorman because you're a local celebrity, there's probably going to be a little wait on Sunday for brunch. It is totally worth that wait. It's worth it to stay out there a few extra minutes and have the best Sunday brunch in the Golden Triangle. Get your day, your afternoon started at Restaurant Tyler with the Mississippi Biscuit. We love it. The Mississippi River Biscuit. The best. Fantastic. Huge fans. But they got a lot of other great options, too. If you're more of a breakfasty person, they got you. If you're more of a lunch person, they got you covered. Sunday brunch is better at Restaurant Tyler. 16 Priority One Bank locations throughout Central Mississippi here to serve you. Go to PriorityOneBank.com to find the location nearest you and find out more about Priority One Bank and all the services they offer. You're going to be impressed. You're going to say, wow, this is a bank that offers me everything that a big corporate bank can offer me. But then when you go and you do business with Priority One Bank, you see where the real difference is, and that's in the service. And that's being treated like a small community bank, which is what I like to do. I like to be able to talk to people that I know directly. When we're talking about your finances especially, you don't want to have to get the runaround on that. Priority One Bank offers you that kind of relationship with a banker that you probably haven't had before. So give them a call and talk to those guys today and open an account that's going to serve you and your family for years to come. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. All right, guys, thanks for the show. We appreciate it. Had a good one today, and we are out of here. Robbie, let's get the hell out of here.
Great show.
It's going to be
tough. I really enjoyed the town that you used today about Strange Brew.
I thought it was good.
Great talking about Restaurant Tyler. I am beat. I think it's time to go to bed.
It's going to be a tough show.
Oh,
if your mom is listening, just don't listen. Today's not the day to listen because I'm going to let one slip. I can already feel it coming.
You know, in our group message, full disclosure, on our group message on Sunday morning before, on the Lord's Day, I will admit. I might have screamed on the phone through text. And I do ask for forgiveness for that. But
well, if you ask for forgiveness,
infuriating moments in the final four innings of Saturday night's game led me to that, and that was only multiplied by about 1,000 on Sunday.
So Robbie and I just got back from Oxford. Where we got out of there a little earlier, I guess, than, you know, we might have originally after State gets run ruled on Sunday by a final score of 14-2. If you could go back in time to the eighth inning on Saturday night, Mississippi State with a 7-3 lead and looking like they are about to take their eighth straight series against the Ole Miss Rebels, and then the wheels completely fell off for Mississippi State there, even the things that should have been good, and such as Johnny Long hitting a solo home run in the bottom or the top of the 12th, give State a one-run lead, turned into a negative because he had some antics there, bat flip that the Ole Miss bench did not like. Mike Bianco comes out, drops. You talk about somebody would upset your mom. He has some real swear words going on there.
Filthy mouth on that man.
And then that I felt like that ejection of Mike Bianco got the Ole Miss crowd into the game. And when they came to to bat in the bottom of the 12th, Mississippi State putting a true freshman pitcher out there in Nolan Stevens, and the moment just swallowed him whole. The same way it did at Florida, he put guys on base, and the next thing you know, Ole Miss gets a walk-off win. And State this season has had a couple of those gut-punch losses, right? They had one at Florida on Friday night. They come back on Saturday, they win. They had one Saturday night against Georgia. They come back on Sunday and they win. So, you know, that's the hope that, okay, they'll just shake it off like they've done in years past. But in this rivalry series with that crowd, and State just came out flat on Sunday. They gave up runs in the first three innings, and then it just almost just continued to tack on runs and tack on runs. And then the next thing you know, Will Furness is hitting a three-run bomb to get everybody out of there early on a Sunday afternoon. An absolute miserable weekend for Mississippi State. And it started off so promisingly on Friday night with an 8-0 shutout win. Robbie, we'll come back to the big picture because there's some big picture stuff here. But for this season, I know we've been playing the whole, well, don't get swept on the road and win your series at home. And that's again what State has done here, but this one feels different, Robbie. It feels like not only did they lose a series they could have easily won, this is the kind of series that could shake this team a little bit confidence wise.
It kind of feels that way. I mean, they just completely folded. I mean, there's really no other way to explain it. And say what you want to about this team. They've been up and down. They've kind of been all over the place. But I've seen them fight. I've seen them overcome adversity, things like that. This weekend, they just fell apart. There's really no other way to say it. They just fell apart. And the most disappointing thing about it, if you're a Mississippi State fan, is the fact that this is the worst Ole Miss team I think I've seen ever.
Yeah,
since I've been following Mississippi State and Ole Miss baseball. Since Mike Bianco's been there, this might be the most fundamentally bad Ole Miss team
I feel like
that
we
he's
have
put
to,
out there.
I feel like we have to quantify some remarks here. We're not taking anything away from Ole Miss this weekend.
No.
Better baseball Saturday and Sunday. They played with a lot of heart. They fought. They came back. They clawed. They won the series. They deserve to win the series. But two things can be true at the same time. That all of that is true, but this is not a good Ole Miss baseball team by any stretch of the imagination.
No. And anybody that's arguing against that, if you're an Ole Miss fan, you're a liar. You're lying about that.
Yeah.
Every Ole Miss person that I talked to this week has talked about how bad this team has been. They haven't been able to pitch. They haven't been able to drive in runs when they needed them, having guys on base and striking out or hitting the double plays or whatever. They've been terrible in the field. And they looked like that in the first game and a half on this weekend. You know, on Saturday was the worst they looked. They looked awful on Saturday until the eighth inning, and it just kind of turned. And Mississippi State not being able to take advantage of that, that's on them. You know, like you said, we give Ole Miss credit because they went out there and they took it from Mississippi State when State wouldn't take it for themselves. So they do deserve credit, and they took advantage on Saturday, and on Sunday they just put their foot on the gas, and I thought they were the tougher team on Sunday. But State just flat blew it. They had a chance. If they would have beaten Ole Miss on Saturday, even if they would have come back, I think, and beat them in the extra innings game, I think they would have won on Sunday. But losing that ball game the way that they did lost them the game again on Sunday. And, you know, Chris Simonis, there wasn't much that Chris Simonis said that we can take anything away. I mean, at this point, it's just hard to really take anything that he says seriously. And I don't mean that, you know, in a negative way towards him, but he is saying things right now to protect his players and to try to keep morale. I get that. And he's not the guy that's going to throw his team under the bus. But we just don't really get that transparency from him. But one of the things that he did say was Ole Miss, they took the momentum on Saturday night and they carried it into Sunday. And momentum is big, especially when you win those extra inning games. That is so big. And you got into the 12th inning, both teams like kind of blitzed their bullpen, but State lost the game in devastating fashion and Ole Miss carried that into Sunday. And they never got off the mat. State was never in that game. They were never in that game. They got a guy on base. Dakota Jordan got on base, an infield single in the first, and then Ole Miss immediately took the lead, and State was never in the ballgame. They went down 3-0, I think, in the game, and then Hunter Hines had the double, but it felt like they were battling uphill the whole time just because the pitching was so bad. They were making mistakes in the field. The offensive approach was awful. It was just an all-around bad weekend outside of that first game.
Hunter Hines' home run deserved to win the game. That was an absolute monster blast. The sound off the bat was like a gunshot. It was incredible. And I thought that maybe that would demoralize Ole Miss, just not only giving up the lead, but giving up a bomb like that. But I was wrong. And we're going to go back and look. And again, I feel like Ole Miss, we're not trying to discredit anything Ole Miss did this weekend. I want to make that clear. But State played
– This is a Mississippi State podcast, so we're talking about Mississippi State's perspective.
Right. But State played poorly from the eighth inning on Saturday night. They made mistakes, and Ole Miss took full advantage of them. And that's something Ole Miss has not done this year, when they have not taken advantage of those games. And then Sunday, complete turnaround for the Rebels. You know, you brought it up while we were sitting there. Prior to this, Ole Miss and on SEC Sundays had been outscored 43-11. They were not a good Sunday team. Give Mason Nichols a ton of credit. He pitched really, really well, evidently while battling illness. So to go out there and not be 100% and still just dominate Mississippi State the way that he did, that deserves a lot of credit. And State just could not do anything on Sunday. And that was very disappointing. Considering the way they lost the game Saturday night, you were hopeful that, again, like I mentioned, the team would come out with that fire they've shown after losses these past couple of weekends. Now when you look at State overall, they lose this series to Ole Miss. They lost a series to Florida. I haven't checked, Robbie. Do you know off the top of your head what happened today with Florida and South Carolina?
I do not.
Let's see if we can't find that while we're working here. But I knew Florida had lost the first two games of that series. to the Gamecocks. So let's see here. They're on a
that was a complete whiff by Mississippi State.
They lost today, but Florida is now 18-17 and 7-8 in the conference. They're not great. LSU is 3-12 in the conference. We took a lot of you know, what's the word I'm looking for? We try to get a lot of information saying, okay, well, they took 2 out of 3 from LSU. They must be better. LSU is enjoying the same curse that State and Ole Miss have had these past couple of years after winning the national championship. They are a bad baseball team. They've lost every series they've played thus far in SEC play. So, you know, we go back to when, you know, after that LSU series, we ate a lot of crow, you and I did. And yeah. I still think this team will do enough to get into postseason play. It's going to go back to that big picture question that you and I asked on Friday, and which is that good enough? Is Mississippi State willing to accept, hey, we're a 2 seed or a 3 seed in somebody else's regional? Or is your standard the standard? Is it, you know, because Chris Olivotis has been on this show and said the standard is going to Omaha. 3 years without making the standard, what are you doing? And I had a moment on Sunday where I was looking out on the field and thinking, what does this team look like next year? Like, obviously they'll be in the portal, but why
are we supposed to be confident that they're going to go out there and get great portal players?
Well, that's right. They, you know, this team looks totally different with Luke Holman and Braden Montgomery. It was totally different last year with Paul Skeens.
But they're not winning those battles.
They're not winning those battles. So, you know, I'm looking at you, Michael O'Brien and Spoleta and Jackson McKenzie, these young guys. When Tanner Allen was a freshman, you saw early on that he was special. Rowdy Jordan, you could see early on that he was special. You're not seeing that. And part of that is they're not getting a ton of opportunities. But when they are getting opportunities, they're not really taking advantage of them. And so I just wonder, like, you know, next year, no Dakota Jordan, no Hunter Hines in all likelihood. It's going to be like who's taken over? You know, maybe Highfield can come back and be a good bat for you. But I just, you know, I wonder about the program, where it is, you know, and don't get me wrong, and I'm guilty of it too. You know, winning and losing against Ole Miss holds more weight. You know, it can make a coach who's struggling have extra rope, and it can make a coach who's even been successful, people can ask, well, that's great, but. And Lemonis, one of the things he had these past couple of years was he was still beating Ole Miss. And even in all this, you're still beating Ole Miss. Now, to this weekend, he loses that. And, you know, I'm sure your Twitter mentions are the same as mine. People are getting off the ship. You know, people who were getting back on, they were trying to get back on the ship coming into the weekend. And when State won on Friday, they were happy. But now today, Lemonis has a really tough road ahead of him. Because, I mean, I don't think they can be a whole lot better than 500 in the conference. You know, that feels like they have to play their best to do that because they're just so inconsistent.
Well, and that's
enough, Robbie.
That is a staple right now of Chris Lemonis' teams is the up and down, not doing kind of the simple things, the things that are like ingrained in your head as a baseball player, the fundamental things. We saw Logan Kohler and Hunter Hines running into each other at the pitcher's mound on a pop fly. We saw, you know, Amani Larry charging the ball last night and running into the runner and, like, not making a play and then the error that he had. And then Logan Kohler and Luke Dotson running into each other, fielding a bunt. These are things, you know, getting picked off at third base last week, Connor Hijack, when you think it was a bases loaded walk. Like, it's just like little things, and you have like a coach standing right there. Or it's that stuff reflects on coaching. That stuff that you work on in the offseason, really a lot of that should be ready to go when you're in college. But some of it's things that you work on every day. And the fundamental side of things has been a constant issue for Mississippi State in this 3-year streak of just being bad to, you know, somewhat bad. And that, to me, is very concerning. Even if you do get better players or you do get, you know, some sense of stability again, it's hard to imagine them playing fundamentally good baseball week in and week out. We've seen enough of it at this point. And the whole thought process of, well, you're just being negative or whatever, that's gone at this point. We have enough evidence now that Mississippi State has been poorly coached. This team has been poorly prepared. It hasn't been evaluated properly. It hadn't been recruited well enough. We have enough at this point evidence to say it's been a failure. And the next 5 weeks, I think that's correct, is Chris Lamonis coaching for his job. I don't see any other way around it. If he can't get to the NCAA tournament, it's tough to imagine him coming back. And even if he does, you can make compelling arguments that Mississippi State needs to do something. Because, as you mentioned, you have a standard that you've set here. Chris Lamonis raised the standard because he won a national championship, and they have completely fallen apart since that time and haven't even been competitive enough to compete for a national championship. When what should have happened was this team taking the next step and becoming a team that wins multiple national championships in a 5-year period or something. They haven't done that. So it's getting down to the nitty-gritty at this point, and this week was a very bad development in that regard.
It really did feel like coming into this weekend, if he had won this series, he was going to have a lot of buy-in for the rest of the season. You know, and I was thinking about Super Bulldog weekend coming up. I mean, he probably 2,000 to 3,000 people less now per game. You know, instead of having 13, 14 on Saturday, you probably have 11, 12, something like that on Saturday, which is still a big crowd. It's still, you know, the kind of support Mississippi State baseball can show off, but it's just not the same. And for Mississippi State, this was the kind of weekend that, like I said, as we said at the beginning, that could end up, you know, you talk about losing a game twice, you know, a game beats you twice. That's what happened on Sunday. Like, the loss Saturday beat them on Sunday. And now it becomes, can you shake that off? You have Alcorn, who, I mean, well, let's just be honest, not a very good baseball team, right? Let me double check. The last time I looked at Alcorn, they were way down here. They're 302 in the RPI. So your RPI,
an awful non-conference schedule.
They're 2-25 on the year. Robbie, State's RPI sits, as we sit here right this second, at where I think that they were 49. Yeah, they're 49th, right? They're going into the 50s on Tuesday, regardless of how badly they win. God forbid they lose. But regardless of how badly they win, they will wake up on Wednesday morning and their RPI will be like 54, 55, something like that. Might even be lower. And then you play Auburn this weekend. Auburn currently sitting at 39, so that would be some quality wins for you. Auburn is having a real struggle of it in conference play. They're 2-13 overall. Again, that's another team that's lost every series that it's been in. They were swept this weekend by Kentucky, who is the surprise of the SEC this year. They just keep rolling. They're 14-1. Their one loss is to Missouri, is what's funny.
They were good last year too.
They have. I mean, would you go? You know, it's hard to predict sweeps, Robbie. But does State have to sweep this weekend? Do you feel like they absolutely need to sweep?
Yes. I feel like they have to. Yeah. You're trying to get back on track. You're trying to get into really good position to get in the NCAA tournament. Because right now, the goal is to get in the NCAA tournament and see what happens from there. And they really need to make up some ground here. They've let four or five games now in the last three weekends slip out of their hands that they very could have easily won. They could have, you know – it's hard to say they should have swept Ole Miss when they lost by run rule, but I really do think that Saturday game was a decider in Sunday's game. Mm-hmm. I think after that game, State just fell apart. And it's I would be interested to see what happened had State won that game, because Ole Miss looked dead. I don't know if people were looking at their dugout, looking at their faces, seeing the crowd. They were dead, and you gave them life. So you look back at the Florida series, should have swept that series, should have swept Georgia, easily should have beaten Ole Miss at least. And you add all those games up, these are very big wins that you're letting slip away. Every single win in SEC play at this point is important, and Mississippi State's not getting enough of them. So you're looking at the last half of the SEC schedule. They've got to win games. They've got to find a way to win as many as possible here. And it's not there aren't unbeatable teams left on the schedule. Arkansas lost a series to Alabama. Vandy had a bad weekend. All of these teams are beatable. I just don't have any faith that Mississippi State's going to rack up a lot of wins here. And, you know, Auburn has had some tough luck in some of their games, but it's a series you absolutely need to sweep at this point. And you have to have a series win, but you're almost at the point now where you're saying you got to win three.
State has 19 games remaining, 15 conference games, 4 non-conference games. In reality, Robbie, they need to be something like 15-4 in those games. They cannot lose any of the non-conference games, and that includes the Governor's Cup. They can't lose that game. And they need to not get swept, and they need a couple of sweeps, I think. They need to be able to maybe sweep Auburn and Missouri. Especially Missouri, Robbie, I mean, I know they're playing better right now, but like from an RPI standpoint, Missouri is – let me see here. And we find them. I know they're low. Oh, they've moved up a little bit. They're up to 94th. Good for them. So,
and State really struggles with them for some reason.
They've had State's number. But, I mean, you can't lose. By the time that's the last weekend of the series, likely Missouri will probably be in the hundreds, back in the hundreds by then, right?
Yeah.
You can't have sub-100 losses at home. If you're going to put yourself into a point where even if you're 15-15, you might not make it. And then that sounds crazy to think about, because I don't think any team's ever missed being 500. But your non-conference, your strength of schedule is so bad. Your RPI is not good.
Yeah.
For the season.
The metrics are going to be really bad on the State team.
So let's come back in a second. Let's move into the rest of the show that's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. I hope your cooking out this weekend was better than your baseball. I hope you're able to enjoy some of this fantastic weather we had in the Magnolia State and fire up the grill. And I hope you had some delicious steaks, burgers, ribs, tri-tips, brisket, whatever it is. I hope you enjoyed it. And I hope this weekend coming up for Super Bulldog, if you're going to be on campus or if you're going to be at home, wherever you're going to be, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. So, that's my recipe for happiness for you. Enjoy a delicious grilled steak this weekend. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. Robbie Falk and I dined at Two Brothers earlier last week, and it was, you're not going to believe it, it was fantastic. I couldn't get over how good it was. We had another listener tweet at us this weekend, told us, and they enjoyed some pork rind nachos from Two Brothers. That's a phenomenon right now. Next time you're in Starkville, you know, I'm sure you've eaten at Two Brothers, but if you haven't had the pork rind nachos, this is the time. It's time to get over there and enjoy some smoked Southern soul food. Next time you are in Starkville, make sure you've got a trip to Two Brothers on the agenda. Great products and great service is what every business likes to promise you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for 49 years. Guys, if you need technology in your business, if you need a new copier, a new printer, whatever it is, you need to give them a call, and then you get to call the same number if something goes wrong. It's not a 1-800 number. It's not a number to a call center that puts you on hold for 30 minutes and then what gives you the runaround about how to fix your problem. It's not a number where you got to talk to an out-of-state technician who sets up an appointment to be there in a week, 10 days. It's a 601 number. It's a person on the other end of the line that wants to talk to you, and it's a person who can probably get your problem solved sometimes within 24 hours. It's because they're in Mississippi just like you. That's the difference Advantage Business Systems gives you. 601-362-9192, or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems helps your business do business. Our friends at Maroon & Co., they just keep delivering great products to you. When you need something unique, but truly Mississippi State, that's what you find at Maroon & Co. They have all the logos we've been talking about, the state script, the interlocking, the M over S. They have unique shirts, polos, pullovers, hats, stuff you cannot find anywhere else. They're the exclusive provider for the Bulldog Initiative. They've got custom cowbells from the Bellsmith. Everything maroon and white under one roof right here in Starkville at Maroon & Co. Before you head to the ballpark, you've got to go to Maroon & Co. Robbie, I know we had a big weekend of a football. We got a football commitment to talk about. We got some women's basketball transfer news. We've got some men's basketball transfer news. For another day, Robbie. For another day. I can't give it the attention it deserves today because we got to stick with it.
Yeah.
Robbie, when we go back to the beginning of the season, we were pretty adamant, both of us, that at the end of the season, Chris Lemonis would no longer be the head coach at Mississippi State. The last few weeks, the way they've played, you see the path to the postseason for them. We've kind of gotten away from that assessment that that's how things were going to finish up. After this weekend, and I know it's just one weekend and they lost a series on a road to it. I know Ole Miss's record is bad, but they are a top 30 RPI team. I mean, I'm really trying to sugarcoat here. I admit that. But are we back to our original assessment with Chris Lemonis? And again, I keep going back to that big picture question is, it's great that they're going to be back in the NCAA tournament, but can Mississippi State be back where it belongs under Chris Lemonis?
That's a big question. I mean, at this point, it's hard to really have a whole lot of faith. You know, it's back-to-back seasons of 9 SEC wins. This year, the team looks better, but it doesn't look like they're going to make a huge, huge jump from the last 2 years, at least currently. And you still have a lot of issues with this team. I mean, pitching is kind of reverting back to what it was. We talked about how much improved they were. Now, you can't close games. A couple of your starts this weekend were awful. So now you're down to just one guy that you feel really good about as a starting pitcher. And you don't really have a whole lot of faith in just about anybody in the bullpen. They put 12 guys on base on Saturday night. That's what they did last year. That's going right back to how you were. So you think about the issues that they have at times defensively, and you know, like to talk about on my YouTube today, I know the numbers, I know what they say, I know that the defense is a lot better this year and they've been pretty good from a numbers perspective, but they still make mistakes they shouldn't be making. And at the plate, it's kind of a mess. They can't figure out a DH. They don't really, you know, have a whole lot going on at the top of the order. Your best hitters are striking out or having unproductive outs when you have people in scoring position. It's just a bit of a mess. And I blame that on coaching. That's a problem. Mississippi State's not coaching them well enough right now. So it's really hard to have a lot of faith in Chris Lemonis. And, you know, last year he was given the benefit of the doubt when we were talking about this team and kind of their struggles, about how we refused to believe he was a bad coach because he was able to get that team to a national championship and win it. And he went to the College World Series twice in his first two chances. So it was just very difficult for me to believe Mississippi State didn't have a good coach when he goes to the College World Series twice and he wins a national title. That's hard to do. It's hard not to mess something up. But right now, this team just does not look well coached. And that falls on Chris Lemonis and his staff. And it falls, you know, you talk about they don't have depth. Today, you and I were talking about what do they do, you know, at third base. Logan Kohler struggles defensively right now. He's not giving you anything at the plate. Well, you put in another guy that's doing the same thing. What do you do at DH? They played three guys at DH this week. None of them produced at all. I don't think any of them got a hit.
Yeah.
So the DH is a mess.
Games in, Robbie, and you started a DH whose batting average was zero today.
Had three at bats apparently coming in. I mean, I would just stick with Aaron Downs at this point. He's actually done some things. Just let him let him work it out.
And the third base thing. This is an SEC baseball program. Third base is an offense position. You know, you think about Cam James when he was here. Not the greatest fielder in the world, but you knew he could deliver at the plate. State has has Logan Kohler, and you're just like, and you like you said, he's hitting 200, and you're thinking, you know, can't do much better than we can't do any better than him. And then, but the guy behind him, Nate Chester, is hitting 150. And Kohler had some defensive lapses this weekend too. So did Imani Larry. Imani Larry's kind of the same thing here.
And you can't do anything with them. Like
there's no one to put out there. You know, Dylan Cup, I assume he's injured.
This injury thing is just outrageous.
Yeah.
We can't hear so-and-so's close anymore. Wait, I can't take it anymore. I can't take hearing so-and-so is close, very close to getting back on the field, and we don't see him again. I can't deal with it. I would give my left pinky just to get an injury report and know for a fact that so-and-so's out for 2 weeks, so-and-so's out for the year. I just can't deal with he's close, and then we never see the person again.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No.
But that's where we are, and we just hear he's close.
Just frustrating for us as media guys. I don't know. I think fans are frustrated by it too.
No, they are too. Because we would like – I mean, everybody wants to have some clarity.
Yeah.
Because why is Imani Larry struggling the way that he is at the plate – and making mistakes in the field, and you refuse to put somebody else out there? It would be helpful to know that, you know, Dylan Cup can't play right now. There is no other option.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of know where they are there, but we're not going to get that. That's the thing. Like, that's all of that falls on Chris Lemonis. He didn't evaluate well enough on these players the last 2 or 3 years. He didn't build enough depth so that if somebody was struggling, somebody else can come into their place and take their place and help out. There just hasn't been a very good plan to get this team and this program back on track. So when people are struggling, there's nothing you can do about it but just sit there and struggle.
The third base thing is incredible to me. And I, you know, when Kohler was signed, I think I said on this podcast, I was like, you know, it looks like a good signing, but at the same time, the fact that his numbers weren't outrageous at Memphis was a little concerning.
They were good though. His hitting numbers were good.
I feel like
I know
I'm at the point now where if you're going to take a group of five guy, he needs to be hitting like 350, 360 with double digit bombs. I need him to be dominating at that level to make me think he can succeed here. Because Colton Ledbetter did that, and R.J. Yeager did that, and then they came in here and they did the same thing. Okay, makes sense. Kohler didn't have the same kind of numbers that those two guys did.
I mean, his numbers are pretty good.
They were okay.
I get it was at Memphis, but that it's not like he was batting, you know, 275 with five home runs. You know, he hit for power and he hit for average last year. His numbers were solid. They should have been good enough that he came in here. I mean, you're obviously going to tick down a little bit from where you were facing Conference USA or whatever they are pitching, but it was good enough to where it wasn't just like, all right, this guy, all he can do is defend.
Yeah. Looking at him, his two seasons at Memphis, I'm just doing quick math here. It looks like he was hitting about right at 300 with 17 home runs in 2 years. I mean, just okay. I mean, just okay. I'm just saying, just for me personally, I want to see guys dominating that level. If you think they can contribute here, that's just where I'm at right now.
Well, I feel like you're trying to make your point by dismissing what he did last year. He batted 330 last year with a 574 slugging percentage and 11 home runs.
Yeah.
So I get what you're trying to do, but you dismissed. Couple in Ledbetter's 2 years too, though.
I have to look. I don't know. I mean, I'll take your word for it, but
he wasn't great the year before. So, I mean, the numbers were 330 with 11 home runs and a 574 slug, that's solid. That's good numbers. We felt good about him coming in. He was second team all conference. I mean, it wasn't great, but it felt like you were getting a better player. Well, you were upgrading at third base.
It hasn't worked. You know,
no, for whatever reason, it's not translated.
It just has not translated. But that's on the coaching staff. They have to be able to evaluate these guys and say, yes, he can play at the next level, or no, you know, he's good at that level, but he's not going to be good enough at this level. They nailed it with Jaeger. They nailed it with Ledbetter, but they did not nail it with Kohler. And that's a position, like I said, with third base, you got to be able to get some. That's a guy, third base is usually a cleanup hitter. They're a guy hitting third, fourth, or fifth or something like that in the lineup. And Kohler this weekend was just bad. And then on top of that, he had a couple of defensive lapses too. And those are so magnified, right? Because it goes back to what you said, you know, where it's like, this is the thing that happened to Lane Forsythe last year. Like, yeah, he's not a great hitter, but he can defend. And then when you can't defend anymore, it's why are you in the lineup? State this year. See, last year with Forsythe, it was why are you in the lineup? All right, put Mershon out there, and automatically they got better. You don't have that with Chester this year. So, I mean, Mississippi State has about three or four guys that play regularly that you're just like, how are they on the field for an SEC team? It doesn't make any sense to me. And some of those guys.
I also don't understand how so many players. I also don't understand how so many players just disappear.
Yeah.
You just don't ever see him again. Bradley Lofton, is he alive?
Yeah.
Is he still alive?
Yeah.
I want to see Bradley. If you're out there, can you please get word to us that you're okay? If someone is holding you against your will, please tell us. Khan
didn't pitch this weekend for everything that happened.
You know? And will he pitch again?
We don't know.
Who are we to know? Because we're not going to get any kind of updates.
This was a very sobering weekend for Mississippi State. I felt like coming into the weekend they had a lot of momentum, that they were moving in the right direction, that they had a chance to have a very successful SEC season. And I thought that their non-conference struggles were going to keep them from the hosting position, but they could have a good season, and it was just going to, you know, be that. And now I'm back to where I was, you know, before the start of conference play. And I'm just back to, I don't know what this team is. I don't know what they're going to be. I'm worried that they're going to continue to struggle. I'm worried that this weekend is going to take a lot of their confidence away from them. And I'm worried that we're going to look up in a couple of weeks. And I mean, what are they now? They're 7-8. We're going to look up in like 3 or 4 weeks, and they're going to be 8-13 or something like that.
Well, another thing is, what did we talk about all offseason? This SEC schedule is brutal. Mm-hmm. How are they going to get through this? And now you look up, and these teams are not very good. So the schedule has actually turned out to be, you know, not that daunting. Ole Miss pretty much stinks. LSU stinks. Florida stinks. Georgia's okay. You know, A&M's really good. A&M's the only really good team they've played.
The West is so mid this year. It is.
Yeah. So when you look at the schedule and you're saying, you know, we thought Mississippi State was going to be better, they do appear to be a little better, but the schedule actually, they could underperform again.
Yeah.
So the schedule and the SEC turning out to be what it has, it kind of puts things into perspective that maybe this team isn't going to get back.
Yeah. That's a very realistic fear. We also had, well, you know, I'll save that for another day. But all right. Tomorrow's show, we will go into Rashard Amos committee to Mississippi State. We will talk about Haley Van Lith visiting Mississippi State this weekend. We'll do a positional breakdown tomorrow, and we'll look at State's linebackers. We've got some spring previews to finish up this week. We will finish up the conference with Texas A&M, and Vanderbilt. And, whatever else pops up along the way, we will get that for you. Thanks so much for by the way, just a lot of interaction on Twitter these past couple of days, at least for me. I hadn't been on the road for baseball in quite a while, but decided to do it this weekend, much to my chagrin. But I did enjoy it and enjoyed interacting with you guys out there. Hope you enjoyed my coverage. And Robbie had great coverage as well over the 1-on-3. So Check that out. If you haven't checked out his YouTube video, I thought it was outstanding, so much that I made a cameo in it. And it's good. Good stuff. Where can they subscribe? What is it's Talking Dogs, right?
Yes.
Yeah, subscribe to
it's
that.
It's on the Maroon and White Daily YouTube channel.
Very good. Very good. All right. Guys, have a great Monday. And Robbie and I'll be back with you on Tuesday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Adad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Mississippi Media Production.